listening to Vet Candy.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Palmer, and thanks for joining me today. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm Caitlin Palmer, better known as the Desk Wench. A desk wench is a profession very similar to a veterinary receptionist, only better. We deal not only with cranky canines and fractious felines, oh no, we also have to overcome their human equivalents, Karen and Chad. This is the Desk Wench Confessions, and I am so excited to introduce today's guest, the amazing Kirby Dean Stringfellow, but he goes by Dr. Dean. He is married to the love of his life, the beautiful Patty Stringfellow. He graduated from Mississippi State University in 1995. He has four amazing children and a whole slew of animals, including 7 dogs, approximately 20 cats, bunches of horses, cows, and a solitary goat named Binks. He's worked at 3 places as a veterinarian, Louisville, Picayune, and now Loosedale, where he's originally from. He likes to eat, same though, cook, and work outside, and he tries to stay out of trouble as best as he can. How's that working out for you, Dr. Dean? Are you staying out of trouble?
Not working at all. We really need to reevaluate that one.
Yeah.
I'm failing at that life goal. That life goal is a failure.
Well, you know, they say shoot for the moon, and even if you miss, you'll land among the stars.
That's what they say, huh?
So you've got to set realistic goals for yourself. So maybe if you can't be good at it.
You've reached perfection there, Caitlin.
I have found it. I have broken the universe, the life secrets, the meaning of life. It's done. We're done.
Hey, look, we solved the world's problems.
I know. And we're not even like 2 minutes in. This is great. You guys, I'm a genius. So tell me, what made you decide to get into vet medicine?
You know, it's a long, long story. No, it's not really. We grew up on a dairy farm. We had cows and animals all around. And just when I was in high school, it just the opportunity, like somebody says you ought to do this. And so I said, well, let's do it. It's going to be good. It'll be a good job, you know, thinking good job, but it's probably been the best thing that I've ever done. I've been doing this 26 years and I love it just as much today as I did the first day. Maybe more so because I'm a little bit more relaxed than I used to. I used to be kind of high strung, kind of walk that tightrope of where we're going to fall off or not, but it's just so much easier now. It's just something I can't imagine doing anything besides this.
You are firsthand experience, you guys. He is an amazing veterinarian. You actually gave me my first ever vet med job, which is pretty amazing. I mean, look what you've done.
Oh, so you're saying I created you?
You created a monster.
A monster. Do I get a percentage of this? Can we market it?
So anyway, tell me about how... Have you always been, you've always been a good student. You've always been very... This is how we do it, and we do it right.
That's what I wanted to do. Now, I will admit, the older I get, there were some classes that I didn't put full effort into. And there were a few years in college where maybe I didn't put a whole lot of full effort into a whole lot of other things.
Y'all, he would always tell us stories about being in college and eating tuna and crackers. Tuna and crackers was your go-to meal.
That was my go-to meal, tuna and crackers. And I never did realize till I got older you could mix mayonnaise with it to make tuna salad. But I never did. I didn't know how to cook when I went to college. Well, you know, there's shoot for the stars. Shoot for the moon and you'll land in the stars.
I decided the other day I was hungry for some chicken and rice. So I told my husband, I'm going to cook chicken and rice. He's like, you know how to cook. I was like, you shut up. So I cooked it and I burnt it so bad. But my pride was like, no, this is really good. I did a good job. So I ate it. I was like, this is so bad. I can't let him see. So I was giving it to the dogs. The dogs were even eating it. It was that bad.
Everything's a learning experience.
You're right. You're right. Next time I know to set a timer and not burn my rice.
That's right. Or to not cook it as long or as hot. It'll all work out. Or... you could just do what everybody else I know does. They just go pick it up in town.
Yes, that's what we do. But with our work schedules, that's what we do. We just pick some up on the way home. We're not home enough to cook. So when did you decide? So you originally, you worked under somebody else and then you started your own practice.
Yes, I worked for 3 years for a guy that was graduated from Auburn. You know, we'll pray for him later. But graduated from Auburn for 3 years. He had a small animal clinic, and I'd always wanted to do large animals, so I kind of did that on the side for 3 years, and then just kind of felt like there was no, when I say small, it was me, him, and two employees. There was nobody else. And one of those was a groomer, and so you did everything basically yourself. We did most of the stuff ourselves. I loved working there. I still go by and see him every time I'm in that area, but just thought that maybe there was something else we needed to do, and just happened to pick up a Veterinary Economics magazine years ago whenever they sent out a magazine, and there was an ad in the back of that, and one thing led to another, and I ended up in Picayune, Mississippi.
It's an all right place. It's an all right place. And you were at Picayune Veterinary Clinic for what, 15 years?
It was 16 years whenever we sold. Well, it was when the day we sold and left, it was 16. It was exactly 16 years.
Oh, wow. I remember that.
Feeling like a teenager, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, you were there and that was your practice. That was your first practice. But now you have a new clinic and I hear you're doing very well.
Well, I know. We try.
We try to take care of our people and their pets as best as we can.
We take care of our people and we try. You know, I've always believed that if you just talk to them and just talk to people, they're going to, you know, they'll take care of you if you take care of them. And so that's what I do. I spend the majority of my day talking.
Same though. That's literally my whole shtick.
It's just talk and just be nice and I kind of take it. Don't do them what you wouldn't want done to you. So don't, you know, try not to be short. Try to be as friendly and understanding as you can and go with it. And like I said, I have gotten a whole lot mellower as I've gotten older. My wife says I'm trying to buy my way into something, but I've really tried to just do what I'd want done to me.
Sure. And I find most people are receptive to that and will be decent if you're decent, but not always. Every now and then you do get a Karen or a Chad that you cannot.
I don't believe anybody will ever make them happy. I don't know if they're just not happy folks or they're happy being unhappy or that's just them. You know, sometimes I just walk out from work going, I cannot believe that happened today. I cannot believe that person told me that.
We had somebody just today, the current owner of our practice is retiring. And my coworker told this long-term client that has kind of been allowed to walk all over everybody, you know, he is retiring. This is the new boss. Well, no, he is not. And you need to tell him to stop telling people. And we're like, oh, okay. I'll let him know.
Yeah. Well, you're on that same note, both practices, this practice that I bought here and the one I bought in Picayune, the first month I was so dejected at both places. The first month, 50% of the people that walked in found out that you're not Dr. Whitfield or you're not Dr. Bird. I'm leaving. I'm gone. Can you print my records? I want my records. I want them now. I'm like, so we're going to leave from a person that they don't know to a person that they do. Then they're going to go to a person they don't know. They don't know any of the staff. Oh, just because they left. I'm like, okay, you're not from. I'm actually from here. I know more people here than you do. So I don't understand.
And you worked under that doctor, so they pretty much trained you. I mean,
I know, so I never understand, but what I have found out is a 3-year cycle. On people, they come back in about 3 years. They kind of realize that maybe they made a rash decision. Some of them apologize. Some of them act like nothing ever happened, and then some of them will just give you their name and say, "I've never been here before," with the same address, same phone number, never been here before. And you work through that. And then if they owe you money, it's more closer to a 7-year cycle because they got to go stick everybody else and make sure that they run up a bill at every other veterinarian that's within driving distance. And then by the time that they'll come by, oh, I just slipped my mind. I just things happened in life and I got to pay my bill off. Will you see me again? We'll see you again, but we can't charge anymore.
I'm a kindergarten teacher because it goes from, okay, calm down to, we have to wait our turn. There were three people ahead of you.
And we don't understand that.
Yes, I understand your pet needs a nail trim, but this pet's having a seizure. So we're going to just have to ask you to have a seat.
But I had an appointment.
Did y'all ever do curbside?
We did for about a week. It's very hard. And they would, I'm going to tell you, I will say this because I live here and I was raised here. These fools can't drive. And it's plainly marked, pull in and just get in a row. They'd come in there like Dukes of Hazzard on two wheels, kind of slide in there and we'd slide out their car like Bo and Luke Duke, you know, just, or it's like the drive-through. They come through and they want to go and sling it out the door to you or out the window. And then they just want to keep on moving. You know, they just want to keep on moving. So I'm like, but we worked through it the best we could. We just decided that it was just, let's go to appointments. Try to go to appointments.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Hi, this is Dr. Jessica Turner, and I want to tell you about my new show, Living Well with Dr. Jessica. We talk about life, love, and living your healthiest life. Check it out on Vet Candy Radio or a podcast platform of your choice.
How do you handle it when a client is especially hateful to say an employee and they want to talk to you because they always want to talk to the owner? And, you know, they're mean to us. And then when they talk to you, they're dripping honey. They're sweet, sweet, sweet.
Oh, and I'm not, well, I've just, over the years, I've handled it some really bad ways and just trying to be, because, you know, I used to believe the customer's always right, but the customer's not always right anymore. I'm like, well, look, tell me what happened. You know, just go in there. I have one this week. He come in, he wanted his implants checked. He wanted it, he said he had swelling. It had a little Boston Terrier and swelling up under his tail. And Dr. Google told him that was his anal glands. He was sure that was his anal glands. He just wanted them. He just goes in the receptionist. He wants them checked. And if they need to be clean, you know, express them. So that's not a doctor visit. That's a technician or, and we usually just pick them up at the front and carry them to the back. So they did that. He's screaming, hollering, running down the, why are you taking my dog? You're going to hurt my dog. They're like, well, you wanted the anal glands expressed.
What are you going to do to him in the back? I love the way they say the back.
The back, you know, like there's torture machines right there. We got it.
Right. I mean, well, that's what we keep at our clinic.
We got a rack back there and we beat them and we got these little shock things and it looks like Jason Statham is trying to get out of prison. You know, he's got a battery attached around his neck, but he comes in the room and he is hot. They just took his dog without his permission. I said, what did you tell him? I said, well, I wanted these glands checked. I said, yes, sir, that's not a doctor position. That's something that, you know, that's a, well, nobody told me that. I said, I asked to have the doctor look at it. I'm like going, I'm listening. My office is right next to behind the receptionist desk. I can hear.
Oh, you can hear everything. Most clinics you do, they're paper thin. You can hear.
Didn't hear him say doctor check at all. I said, well, I'll look at your dog. Is that Panzer?
That is Panzer. To my beloved listeners, I have a 11-year-old Pomeranian and he's the most precious pain in the ass to ever touch the softest part of my heart. And he's quiet all day long until we do a podcast. And then he starts bar. Last night, he went to the groomer. I was like, he can stay there for a bit. And then all of a sudden, which is my mom, he goes to grandma's. But I didn't get out work till late. So I'm like, you shut up. I was threatening his life before we started. So that's just an aside. You don't know what that's like. You don't ever have barking dogs or
no, anything. No, not at all. The hair. That's the deal, the hair. But what to go back and answer the question, I listen to him vent. And if they bring up a valid point, I'll say, we're going to address that valid point. But if they don't bring up a valid point, I'm going to just tell them, I said, I'm really sorry you're disappointed. Said, but this is how we do things. And this is the why that person did that from my direct order. It's not them. They weren't mean to you. They didn't show you any disregard. We did exactly what we have discussed here as a family, as a practice. and everybody's the same. It doesn't matter if you come rolling in here in a Mercedes or you come pedaling up with a bent rim bicycle, you're going to get treated the same. So we discussed that, and I said, if you're really upset, you know, I'm sorry, but this is, we did what we believe is right. And if you have a personality issue with the employee, then it's a personality issue. And I said, but I'm not, we don't tolerate profanity. We don't tolerate verbal abuse. We don't tolerate anything here. And I said, if that's a problem, you just need to go ahead and leave and I'll forward your records wherever I need to forward.
Nice.
All the other sudden, they all shut up and they, oh, yes, sir, I don't want to do that. I said, well, we just don't do that. We don't try to, and I've used the term two or three times, probably not correctly, or the statement. So what you're telling me is I intentionally hurt your animal so to make you mad so you wouldn't come back and spend any more money. That was my goal today, right? That's what you're telling me.
Nice. That's what we want to say to them.
I'm like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm like, that's just what you said, that the girl took your dog back there to abuse it and make you mad so you wouldn't come back. So I don't understand why we would do that.
I'm picturing the guy in the tech, like, wrestling over the poor little Boston Terrier, like, ripping it from his arms. He's like, don't take my dog. She's like, I have to do it, ain't no glands.
And, you know, the sad thing about it is we have cameras, you know, due to this litigation society we're in. And while I was hearing it, I just look up on my cameras, just sit at my desk, and I'm like, he hands the young lady the dog, and just he's smiling and act like nothing's wrong until she makes it to the threshold of the door to the back, and then the world comes apart. And and then it's all my, you know, I can't believe you let your staff. I'm like, we didn't let my staff do anything. We just followed our procedures.
You do large animal too. So you do like cows and horses and pigs and goats and all. So is it true that, so there's always the trope of the crazy cat lady, hashtag attacked. It's me. I'm the crazy cat lady. But also I've always heard that horse people are crazy too. Is that true?
Yes, 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 yes. Very much so. Some aren't, but you've always got that one or two that'll tell you some of the most outlandish stuff that you know, you'll walk out and you'll see this horse and like, wow, that's a skinny horse. Oh, we're perfect. We're in training. And you'll go, what we're looking at him. There's no teeth. Where are the teeth? Oh, well, you know, we've been trying to train him and he's just gotten old on us. And, you know, he's 24. So but I think this year we're going to the rodeo. I think he's finally got the pattern down on the barrel. This is the year. It's always with them. It's somebody else's fault. I watch tons of videos of horses that are running, doing stuff on their phones, or they send them to me an email and they're just telling me it's a narration. Just right here, this third barrel, look what he does. He lifted his head 0.2 inches less than he did on the second barrel. He's got to be hurt. I'm like, and I'm sitting there going through and I put it on my computer and go through slow motion. I'm like, where exactly are you? Are you seeing this? And I'm like, just right there. I'm like, oh, okay, okay.
It's like a subliminal message hidden in the horse's gait.
Subliminal message, and that hadn't got anything to do with the way they're riding. Last week I went to see a horse that somebody had bought. They had it about 30 days, and all of a sudden they could ride it when they bought it, but now they can't ride it. The horse won't take a bit, won't do anything. Just as soon as you touch its mouth, they said, just as soon as you walk out there with the saddle, it goes nuts. And I said, well, maybe something else was going on. And then I get to look and ask, well, show me your saddle and stuff. They bring me this. It's just a quarter horse. They bring me this draft horse bit.
Oh, wow.
That long. You know, I don't know if you can see my hands, but about that long from top to bottom. The center tree was about that big around. And I'm like, you're putting that in the horse's mouth? Well, yeah, because I saw it on an ex-trainer's website on the internet that's the bit I should use for this horse. I'm like, that's the reason you can't get on your horse. Your horse hates you because you're sticking some kind of torture tool in your mouth. But, you know, the trainers and Dr. Google and Dr.
Oh, well, absolutely. Why would I pay a veterinarian when there's the internet for free?
The internet's for free and I can watch all the videos. So why would I do that?
Oh, I do like watching me some videos, though. I love abscesses. Do you have a favorite surgery? Like a guilty, gross pleasure?
Palmage. And I'm going to tell you, and I wish she was here, but she's off. been off for the last 2 or 3 days, but she films all of our post-surgery explosions, incisions. You know, she's got a whole video on her phone of all these videos of all these biometrics that we've done. And over the last 3 or 4 years, it seems like I've done more than what I've ever done before.
We see a lot of biometrics.
It's just a whole lot more. And it's just amazing to me, some of the stuff that comes out of there.
And you know that poor dog feels so much better.
No, I don't. So, you know, I did one a few years ago, and I can't remember the size of the dog, but I remember the size of the biometric weighed 5 pounds. We took it and weighed it. It was just phenomenal. And I was just like, wow. But the video was even better because they took a little, we made it all nice because I like to present that video to the owner. This is what was happening. This is why you have this. You know, we tried to show them why. And we had it on a big towel, and a girl cut it with the little scalpel blade. As soon as she cut it, you hear one of my other employees in the background, "Oh my God, what is that?" You know, and it's because it just goes bubbling out. And then the smell, you hear, and I'm like, "Well, we can't put the volume. Can y'all do this video without the volume?"
Let's just put some serene piano music over the top.
And so I'm not real good at editing. I'm probably the least technologically savvy person that you'll ever talk to. I love technology, but I'm not the one. I figure there's somebody else got a better time to do it than me.
Oh, sure. I know just my little TikTok videos, doing them, I mean, because that takes time, but editing them and cutting them and trimming them and then going back and adding, that takes forever. That's almost a day's work. Well, not literally, but it feels like a day's worth of work to just set aside and edit. So super kudos to people who edit stuff. It's tedious. And, you know, if it's off by like a fraction of a square or a pixel, it's just a frame or whatever. I don't know. See, that's why I knew it. But it looks funny.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Hey, this is Dr. Quincy Hawley, and I'm here to tell you about a new show. It's Vet Candy Rounds with the Hawleys. That's right, Dr. Tierra, the love of my life, and I have teamed up to bring you the most fascinating cases in the world. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, or a podcast platform of your choice, only on Vet Candy Radio.
Tell me about your Karen of the week.
Karen of the week. Oh, that's probably happened yesterday. Well, it kind of worked its way through yesterday. Last Wednesday, they dropped their dog off the board. We closed 30 minutes early on Wednesday. Don't ask me why, but instead of 5:30, we closed at 5. Just the hours when we got here, so we just kept them. So the last Wednesday, the people wanted to board their dog. And so they called and said they were in traffic. And they would just be 2 or 3 minutes late, which ended up being 20. And then they had this long list of stuff, questions they had, and they got here. But I didn't stay that day, and I just kind of let it go. And my receptionist was complaining that she had to work, or she was not complaining, explaining why she worked 30 minutes longer than what everybody else did on Thursday. I'm like, well, okay. So yesterday afternoon at 5 o'clock, or 5:01, I'm in my truck out the driveway, answering service calls me. Is anybody still at the clinic? I said, no, ma'am, nobody's still at the clinic. She said, well, Mr. Smith wants to pick up his dog. It's been boarding. He's supposed to pick it up today. I said, well, we're closed. So then Karen started, which was Miss Karen, you know, his significant others, called back 3 times, explaining that we waited for her last time. Why couldn't we wait for her this time? That was, you know, she's been coming here all the time. You know, now this is the second visit. So I said, well, I'm really sorry, but they were already gone at 5 o'clock. We close at 5 o'clock. Well, don't y'all do stuff after? No, ma'am, we don't. We try to close at 5 o'clock. Everybody wants to go home. And busted me about, and I said, well, you have a job. If you get off at 5 o'clock, you want to go home too. I can't force them just to hang out. And I said, anyway, Ms. Smith, you were supposed to be here yesterday to pick up your dog. Well, something come up. I said, well, okay, well, we'll be glad. We got him all bedded down for the night. We'll see you in the morning. I'll be there first thing, 12:15. Come in.
And they'll then try to leave for lunch.
Everybody's going for lunch except for a receptionist. And we have a kind of split crew, receptionist, technician. And then they want to, well, I want to check the leg for limping. Well, we did. Nothing significant other than a little just mild pain in his. I want it x-rayed right now. And like, there's
and no. And then they get mad that they have to pay for the x-ray.
Oh, they got to pay for the x-rays. And then they call me and they're like, what are we going to do? I said, well, I guess if y'all feel froggy, we can go ahead and x-ray it and I'll look at it when I get back. And I said, but they didn't ask us to x-ray it. They just asked us to look at it if it needed any medicine, but it didn't really need any medicine. And so they x-rayed it. I looked at it. We got them a little bit of glucosamine. We went on about our business, but she's just not happy.
I have to believe that some people are just, like you said, they're just not happy. And it's almost never personal. There's usually something else going on in their life that's making them unhappy. It's not okay to treat people like that. People don't understand that.
They don't understand. Well, they all believe, and I've kind of come to realize this, a lot of them believe if they're obnoxious, they're going to get their way. Some of them are experiencing some true pain in their life. In these last 2 years, there's been a lot of painful events for people. A lot of people have had to go through things that they never would have before or never expected to go through. And so you got to have a little sympathy for that. But then a lot of people, if you get out and talk, like Lucedale's a whole lot smaller than Bicking. So I know most people. Most people that I grew up with that stayed here or working in another business in town. So if you just mention, hey, do you know so-and-so? If they go, you can tell right off that I go switching and you know, to feel you. You hit problems with them and it nonstop. Everybody has problems with the same person. And so you think, and that most of it is they get their way. And so the more they complain, I think that some of them are like that. A lot of them aren't, but some of them are like that. The more they complain, you know, and it's just like,
you know, it's easier to give them their way.
It's easier to give them their way than to listen to it. Those people only complain when there's a lot of people around to hear them complain.
They do. They get an audience.
The crowd feeds off of them. And so we try to diffuse that crowd. And so, you know, what is it? Fool me once, it's on me. Fool me twice, or fool me once, you win. Or I don't know the old saying, but.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm constantly fooled, so.
Give me once, you know, but I'm going to learn. So you give me once in that situation and get me in a bind. I go back, make my notes, and we talk about it. Oh, we're not going to do this. Next time, she cannot have a 10 o'clock morning appointment. She can have one at 8 a.m. when nobody's here.
Yes. Isn't that funny how sometimes when we're scheduling, it's like, oh, this person. I don't want other people to be here when they come in. You know what? You can have the last appointment before lunch because we're going to just get you right in the room.
No, because nobody else is going to be here. And so we'll get you right on in the room. But they don't want those. They never want those appointments. They want the center of attention appointment.
When are you most busy? I want to complain about how long I have to wait.
So, well, you know, sometimes things happen.
I had somebody just today, they wanted to know that there would be people there. And I said, well, I can't really guarantee when there won't be other clients here. If you want to call me when you get here, we'll take you straight to a room if we have one available. If not, you know, you're welcome to wait outside. I understand your pet's nervous, but this is, according to our schedule, this is when it will be the least busy, ideally. Like, okay. Well, that's fine. But there won't be anybody. Well, I can't guarantee that there's not going to be anybody there. We do see emergencies. We do have other people.
Well, you know, it's just like that dog. He just don't like other dogs. But he don't like other people. He don't like other things. He don't. And the owner, just as soon as they drop the leash and turn their back on the dog.
Or they panic. Or they don't tell you the dog's mean. And they're like, here's my dog. And they hand it to you. And you're like, hey, baby, giving him kisses. And it's like, oh, wow, he usually bites people when they do that. And it's like, thanks.
The last girl, he ate her nose.
Wow, yeah. We had to do like rabies quarantine and everything. And it was just, wow, he just let you pick him right up. That's crazy. Like, oh, wow, thanks.
And we don't like needles. You know, so.
No, you don't like needles. Dog doesn't care. I mean, the dog probably doesn't like needles, but I doubt they really care that much. Do you remember there was a black lab that used to board all the time? And we'll call her Annie. Annie loved to finger paint.
She was a master finger painter.
She would shit her brains out and then run around in it and bump up on the cages and just finger paint everywhere. And you come in the morning, it would be disgusting. Like you could not feed her and she would inhale and somehow poop out of it. It's like, how did you do that?
She was a master. Picasso had nothing on her.
She was Picasso. I don't know. I feel like there's a really good poop joke there, but I can't find it. But I came in one morning, took her out, brought her back in. You came in the back and says, "It smells back here. Did you clean that cage?" I said, "Well, I did." "Oh, damn it. She pooped again." So I took her back outside, came back in and cleaned it, brought her back in. You came back in and says, "I thought I told you to clean that." I'm like, "I did. She pooped again." And you're like, "There is no way. Clean that." I'm like, "Okay." So I did. And then she did it again. And you're like, "I'm getting tired of telling you to clean." I'm like, "But I cleaned it." So I always remember her. I'd see her name on the board. I'd be like, "No."
But she's a sweet dog. I don't know if she ate the super duper fiber full Old Roy or what she ate, but she just was a pooper. I don't know. But
it was intense, y'all. Like, this was impressive. It was impressive.
She could produce more. I've never seen one produce that much.
Never, 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 never. And there was that lady. Do you remember that lady that had the Basenjis? And I don't know about other places, but down here, that's a fairly uncommon breed. You don't see very many of them. And they were crazy, crazy cuckoo nut people. And they had one got hit by a car.
Eccentric.
Yeah. I mean, it got hit by a car and it was sad. It was smushed. Like it was dead. And you told them, you know, "Hey, you know, I'm sorry, passed away." And they wanted you to embalm the dog. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
Because you'd embalmed a dog before.
Yeah, I had. I'd embalmed one under duress, I guess you would say. They had a little, the one before was a Cocker Spaniel, a little blonde Cocker Spaniel. Do you remember that? It had glaucoma and had both of its eyes removed. And I think it was 15 whenever it passed away. But for 5 years, they had not moved a single thing in their house.
A single thing ever? Oh, so that the dog wouldn't
bump into anything. They were really, they were eccentric and they were overprotective, but we did that one. I got talked into that. I don't know. Sometimes my wife says I'm easily talked into things. But I got talked into that and then had never done it for that. And that was the first one. So I'm calling on the phone with the funeral home, talking to the funeral home. They wanted us a casket, a child's made specific casket. So here I am in Picayune, Mississippi, middle of the night, trying to order a child's casket because they want to have a funeral the next morning. I know everybody I talked to thought I was nuts. But my heart went out to them because they were nice enough, but I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing this. And so I finally found a funeral home that had one in stock and they were willing to deliver it to us. The next morning, they explained what I needed to do and I did the best that I could on such short notice. And then they decided they didn't want to go the route of the child's casket.
After you did all that.
Oh, I'm like, oh, I'm going to look like a fool.
Right. You know, now I have this child's casket and I look like a freak.
And I'm like, and it's a veterinarian that's looking like a freak. You know, it's like,
don't go to that clinic. They have child's caskets in their clinic.
Long story short, we got it. I got the first one, got the second one done. And you know, I hadn't thought about that till you mentioned it. I forgot most of that, but it's just, I've been involved with a lot of crazy things over the years. That was a crazy one. There have been some others, but that's about the craziest. But you just gotta roll with it, I guess.
Sure. I felt like the other day, it's been a couple weeks now, I guess, good client, her goat passed away. And, you know, my husband is the pupsicle guy. He works at the pet crematory. He picks up the pets from clinics and they do house calls and stuff. But her little goat had passed away. And this was right after the hurricane. and she hurt her arm, so she wasn't able to like to lift it. So she says, is there any way you can come get it from the farm? I said, yeah, I can do that. That's fine. But something ended up happening. It ended up being later than I had planned on being. I tied up to the farm, got the dead goat, loaded up the dead goat. The goat was rock. It was stinky. So I'm driving to the clinic, and the horns keep like knocking against my door every time I hit a bump. So I'm driving, listening to spooky podcasts, and I keep hearing the dead goat moving in the back. And I'm like, oh, this is awful. I hate this. Like, I'm going to get pulled over, and they're going to be like, what's in the back, ma'am? And I'm going to be like, it's a sacrifice. I don't know. So then I get to the clinic. And it's not a huge goat, but I'm a lazy little weenie person. And so I'm pulled up and I'm like right at the back door. And I'm like, oh my gosh, people are going to see me. And they're going to be like, what is she doing? So I had to text my boss. And I was like, hey, if someone says there's somebody bringing in a body, there is. And it's me. And it's this goat. He's like, okay. So I'm just like, oh my gosh, here I am middle of the night with some lady's dead goat. Breaking into the clinic and dragging the body, and it's heavy. You got to lift it. And it's like, oh my gosh, the horns are out. And it was like, oh man.
I've been there. There's many a night that I've left a large animal call. And let's just say instead of my white t-shirt being white, it'd be the red color and it'd be all over me. And of course, you're tired. You're soaking wet from sweat. Thinking, I hope I don't get pulled over. I hope I don't get pulled over. I hope I don't get pulled over. And I said, because I'm going to have some explaining.
I'm going to have some splaining to do.
And you know, I've always had a heavy foot. So it's like, don't drive that fast tonight. Don't drive that fast.
No, I'm sitting here going, nobody's going to believe me that I work at a vet and this is a dead goat. They're going to be like, what missing person is that?
And
I'm like,
no. And whose goat did you steal?
Yeah, whose goat did you steal? And why are you sacrificing it to Satan? It's like, not. It had cancer.
I have another funny story about dead animals that I just remember back when I first went to Picayune, and I still really try to take care, just try to do help people. A lady had a big German Shepherd that died. She asked me, she said, my husband works off. Could you help me bury it? And I said, yes, ma'am. I'll come out there. And she lived in McNeil right there by the railroad tracks, right there.
That's not that far from our clinic, for people.
By the railroad tracks. So I'm going up there now. And let's rephrase that. German Shepherd weighed about 89 pounds, 88 pounds, somewhere around in there. Big old German Shepherd. And I said, well, I'll help you bury it. I'm thinking she's got just a nice little area out there. She wanted him buried under a pecan tree. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go with this. So, roots and red clay. I spent 4 hours trying to dig a hole, and she's out there with a tape measure every few minutes. I just don't think it's deep enough. I don't think it's deep enough. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I finally got the hole dug, and that was back when I was young and in a whole lot better shape. And I'll never do this again. I'll never do this again.
You want to help people, but it's like, don't help people. Don't help anybody.
All I could imagine was I'm standing there with this lady, when she had a flashlight on at dusk. The train goes by. I've got one of those big pickaxes. They're laying it into a hole that I'm digging up under this pecan tree.
They're saying, well, there they go, burying another body.
They're burying another body out there. It was up on the tree out there by the front of the yard so it could watch the train. The dog loved the train. And so I'm digging a hole out there thinking, as I'm thinking, oh, they think I'm burying somebody. They think I'm putting her in the ground. I said, please let him come home. 2 or 3 days and everybody steams so they don't think that I buried this one.
That digging a hole, if our listeners have ever dug a hole for a big dog before, that's a chore.
It is. Well, she was real nice about it.
She was, and I hate that she lost her pet, but it is funny that they thought you were burying a body.
I'm thinking them guys on the train as they peeled, they went by real slow. I'm thinking, he's digging a hole. He's burying her husband.
Carol Baskin, is that you?
It was early Carol back whenever she was really young.
She was so pretty. I was listening to a podcast about her, and I was like, I hate her. Carol fucking Baskin. And then I'm like, oh, she had a bad lot. And they're like, no, she sucked. But I digress. So this is, before we go, I have two options for you, and I will let you choose because I am a liberal podcast. We can play Would You Rather, or we can read some bad vet clinic reviews and make fun of them.
Or we can do, or we can tell you what really happened whenever we when we read it.
Okay.
We can make fun of them first, and then we can tell you what really happened.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Put the needle on the record.
Vet Candy Life is a talk show hosted by well-being gurus Dr. Quincy Hawley and Renee Michelle. Each episode features expert tips, lifestyle advice, and real-life experiences from the most interesting people in the world. Check it out on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and more.
So I have some here, and I'm going to read them. What I did, I just typed in random cities vet clinic. I'm going to read the bad review, and these are all clinics that have a 4.5 or higher. So they're good, you know, out of 1,000 people that reviewed, only a few people were like, blah, 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 blah. I'm mad about stuff and I'm unhappy. I'm going to read you the review, and you're going to tell me what really happened. We'll know the rest of the story. Okay. Here goes our first one. It's really short. Terrible pet staff period dot good. One star.
One star. Okay. My best assumption is the doctor went in and told them what was going on with their pet and they liked that. But when they got to the front desk, they all of a sudden realized they had to pay. They didn't just allow everybody to charge. And so that's option one. Option two, the employee had to weigh the pet on the scale. And she goes, oh, we've gained a few pounds since the last visit. And mama got upset that she may have been calling her pet fat. That's my two options. It's one or the other. I go with the one star. Probably they needed money, or and they probably told her they could not let her charge.
You mean we have to pay for vet services?
On rare occasions, we need to.
Well, this is just ridiculous. I'm leaving you a one star review.
And I am, because Monday's payroll and I got to pay my employees.
I have to pay my people and our electric bill. Y'all, electric bills at a vet clinic are expensive.
Yeah, especially. And nobody knows how to turn out the light, do they?
Nope. Ever since I've become an adult, I understand my parents being like, close the door, you're letting the air out, or turn the lights off, or don't waste all those sodas.
You don't have to look in the refrigerator for 15 minutes to determine what you want to eat.
Oh, I still do that. And I have this childish belief that if I close the fridge and I reopen it, that something good will be there that wasn't there before. You know, and you're just wanting something.
And I bet you think the rock comes and pulls your tooth out from under your pillow, as a tooth fairy do. He does. Yeah, he does.
Here is one star review number two. And I need you to tell me exactly what really happened. We took our dog to him. Our last dog passed PAST away, had seizures, died in her sleep. Our dog had scissor in his office, called for doctor, stood at desk and watched our dog have a sizer, did nothing. Doctor, oh, she will be okay. It's just a stress sizer. From getting her nails cut, he stated I should cut her nails at home from now on. We now go to a nice veterinarian in Gherkin, said, she didn't need to be put on medication for her scissors, but passed away on March from a scissor. I will never take my dog to him ever again. I think I had a stroke reading that.
Yeah, well, that's okay. We have those periodically. You probably need medicine for that, though.
Yeah, I do now.
You do now?
So from what I understand, they went to this vet, right? And they said, hey, that's the nail trim. It's really stressing your dog. Don't do that anymore. We're not going to trim them here. Maybe trim them at home. So they left this vet they wrote the review about, took the dog to another clinic. Then the other clinic was like, no, it's fine. And then they did it in the dog bite. This vet got one star review.
Yes, that one was fault for the nail trim. You got it too stressed out. And then the second one, did I understand right? The second veterinarian on the review told them they didn't need to do any medicine? For the scissors?
For the scissors. He said she didn't need to be put on medication, fear her scissors, but she passed away on March from a scissor. I will never take my new dog to him ever again.
So I just think there's a lot of lack of communication there.
Shit, I'm starting to think the dog killed itself. Poor thing.
I'm sorry, that's not funny.
If your dog is experiencing suicidal thoughts, please help them.
Dogicide is wrong. We don't need to do that. There's help. And I really think on that, if you really want to get down to it, the first veterinarian just told him not to come back. Because the dog just, it wouldn't allow him to trim the nails. I think we're right on that part. And I think the second one, which is something I have been guilty before of doing, the second one may have been talked a little bit disparagingly about the first one. The first one may have said something, well, instead of saying, well, we do it this way here or something. Well, I don't know, you know, got drawn into a conversation where they just, and I think a lot of times clients try to play one person against the other. So they pull you in and you just got to say, well, I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. You know, things are different. You know, I seen today, saw him yesterday. Things were different yesterday. Likely. So we can't judge what they were thinking and what they were doing.
What kind of dog you think that was?
I'm going to guess it was a pit bull lab mix. It was black and white. It was about 4 years old, unspayed or unneutered, and had a rabies shot at about 2 years old because that's when the rabies clinic, last time it passed through their little area where they lived.
Well, sure. And we don't want to over-vaccinate our animals and put the poison in them either.
Yeah, because, you know, that is what's important.
This is actually a 3-star review for this next one. So to me, a 3-star review means it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. But listen to this 3-star review. Staff is rude most of the time and the place smells bad. 3 stars.
3 stars. Staff is rude most of the time and the place smells bad.
Do you think there's any truth to that, Dr. Neem?
Probably not. There may be a little truth to some of it, but not the way they're interpreting. Staff is rude. They probably weren't able to sit there and talk. Or a lot of times whenever I've experienced that comment that my staff is rude, somebody that comes in all the time was at the front desk talking to one of the receptionists and they were giggling and laughing and going on, or they were having a good time, or they had just, and somebody comes in and they just, not rudely, but just said, yes, ma'am, I'm Miss Jones, I'm here with, but, and so they just said, well, here, could you fill this out? And they kept on with their little conversation. They weren't, in the grand sense, rude to the person, but they just weren't giggling and laughing. But they didn't know them to be giggling and laughing or having a good time or saying, how was your vacation or whatever? Because, you know, a lot of people think that we all should know what everybody else does and should ask me, oh, Caitlin, I saw that you went to the Bahamas. How was it? But will it? Well, maybe kind of, but it would. But in the same sense, only people who knew you went to the Bahamas were the people who read it on your Facebook. You don't have a big sign on your head that says, I just got back from the Bahamas. So how is Jan up front know that you went to the Bahamas? But she knew that Miss Allen over here just got back from Maui. And, you know, she just said they have a good old time talking about going to Maui. So it's, I think, a lot with that. And smells are very hard to contain in a veterinary clinic. Very hard. And that, if you remember anything about me, at any point, smells are my pet peeve. And I really try to.
You would never know Dr. Dean owns a vet clinic, y'all. It is spotless.
Yeah, and I believe in every once in a while, somebody needs to experience a toothbrush down there on the sides of the wall in the corners and crevices.
He used to make us bring our toothbrushes from home and make us scrub the baseboards when we were bad.
When you're bad, that's right. Because
we were always bad.
Who learns a lesson when using somebody else's toothbrush?
Right. You got to use your own.
Your own toothbrush. We're just joking, but.
He didn't really do that.
No, but I'm just saying, you smell things. Everybody knows that animals can have some pretty smells. Some places do a better job of containing them than others. And then some people, I've got this one client who now, only time they ever show up is whenever we've got a parvo dog in the front lot. It come walking in the front. They always show up at the same time. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Why is it every time? I'm like, I don't know. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say, but you've been here you were here 2 weeks ago when the dog got hit by a car, and it was just, I'm sorry. These people brought it. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. Next time, call me from the parking lot, and I'll come out there and see you, and I'll do whatever. So I think that's, I'll let you come in the back door, you know, where we have all the roses and the other stuff growing. We'll come in the back door.
Oh, see, that's where we torture the animals, is in the back.
The back door. You got a back door, and then you got the back. You know, you got that little side door where we sneak in and out to avoid the people.
Oh, yeah, like the foyer to the torture room.
That's right. Yeah, it's right there in the foyer of that room. That's what everybody believes. Well, he's got to be here. I saw their vehicle out there. No, he's not here. He snuck out the side door.
Yeah. That's Dr. Dean's truck, isn't it? No.
Oh, he went to lunch with somebody today. They come and picked him up. That's a lie. He never leaves his truck. I'm like, he went to lunch with somebody today.
I don't know where this came from, but I feel compelled to share it because it's an injustice. Today, I wanted shrimp Creole for lunch, and they didn't have it. And I was hurt and still hungry.
Where did you want it from?
I wanted shrimp Creole from Don's, and they said, no, we got to wait for it to get a little cooler. And I'm like, okay. And I was like, this is bullshit. I'm going to leave you a 1-star review not having shrimp Creole in the middle of summer.
Oh, Lordy. The 1-star review, the dreaded 1-star review. Hey, you on that same note, I had a woman call me, and you don't really know our area, but Loosedale is, we're pretty close to Mobile. The state line. We're about 30 miles from the state line or 20 miles from the state line. There's all these little outlying communities. A woman called me at 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh, this has been about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Facebook was really hot. And tells me that her cow is trying to have a calf. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, but I don't go all the way out there. It was way on the other side of Centralnale. It's about 45 minutes away if you knew where you were going. I said, I just don't go out there. That's not part of our service area. We just don't go that far. And I'm going to preface this. She's driving a truck somewhere across the Midwest. Her husband is home, tending to the cow. And I said, ma'am, I can't go. I don't go that far. So I just hung up the phone and go back to bed. Answering service calls me right back. She's back on the phone. I said, well, I'll talk to her. I'll just see what's going on. I'll try to give her some numbers because by then I was awake enough to pull up some of the bits close to her. And nobody else would even answer her call, but I had somebody to answer her call. And then she started. But I said, ma'am, I don't care if you don't go out there or not. I'm fixing to ruin you on Facebook. If you don't get your butt out of bed and go out there, ruin me on what? You know, I'm going, ruin me on Facebook? Oh, yeah, you just wouldn't believe what I could do to you on Facebook.
Oh, people are hateful on Facebook.
And she made me feel so bad. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I got out of bed. My wife said, don't go. Don't go. But I got out of bed. And the more I got over there, and of course, it wasn't as bad as it could have been, but it wasn't as good as it could have been either. And I whooped out that my mighty pen and my farm call sheet. And I'm writing it all up. And the husband goes, what did she threaten you with?
No, he knew.
She threatened you, huh? I said, yes, sir. I don't come out here. He said, I'll pay. Just write it out. I'll go ahead and pay. And I'm like, you sure? And then the guilt comes over me because I'm mad and I'm.
Oh, sure. You're probably charging her every little thing you can because.
Oh, every little thing I did plus my thought. And I'm like, and then my conscience got the better of me. And then I'm like, well, this is what we're going to do. And just please don't ever call me again. I said, we'll call it this. We'll call it even. You pay me this. I said, but don't call me again. And I don't like to be threatened. And he said, he understood. He said, but we were just in a bind. I said, and then that's when I got on my regular story. I said, look, that's why you have a regular veterinarian. You talk to your regular veterinarian. They know who you are. They know who you are by your name. They may not know who you are by your sight, but you get a regular veterinarian. And I believe in my heart of hearts, if you have a regular veterinarian and you've got a good client veterinarian relationship, that veterinarian will help you any way that they possibly can. Even if it is an emergency and even if they're out of town or whatever, if they know who you are, they're going to take care of you. That person, is like, well, we don't go. I'm like, you got to make a decision to do something.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. And I say it all the time. we're more willing to help people who are kind to us than people who are hateful and ugly. And, you know, they, what's that saying? You catch more flies with honey, but you catch more honeys being fly, which is actually about flirting and does not apply to veterinary.
Yeah, it could, you know, because you got sometimes, you know, I've been flirted with a time or two. So it's got to be, you know, I've had to really reel it in over the last few years and not flirt as much because, you know, they don't like gray hair and fatness, but they kind of, you know, they do like them. You know, so you just, but no, it's just be friendly. And a lot of people just don't realize we're in, and I know you've got to go, but I'm just saying we're in a people business. We take care of animals. We all love animals, but we have to deal with the people. We don't know what's going on. We've all have hurt in our life. We all have a lot of anxiety and issues that bother us. You got to be, I've learned the older I get, you got to be more conscious of it. You got to talk to that person. And if somebody wants to spend a minute of your time talking, I'm going to take that minute of my time and talk. But somebody else may not want to talk to them. Somebody may not care enough to do. And, you know, we've gotten to be such fast paced, this time and place. You just got to spend a little time.
That COVID puppy boom. Yeah.
Oh, I know that and then that puppy boom and then just everything else. And they're having a little fight in the background.
It's a blanket. There's a piece of a toy in a blanket.
Good job of hiding it there. But that's my little spiel.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy. In today's world, veterinary professionals have to stay current to stay relevant. That's why Vet Candy is launching master courses for continuing education. Courses are led by subject matter experts who guide participants through the latest research and cutting-edge technologies. The programs are free for veterinary professionals and can be accessed 24/7 on myvetcandy.com. Upon completion of a course, participants receive a Vet Candy Certificate of Completion, continuing education credits, and access to exclusive tools to help celebrate, recognize, and share your accomplishment. Want to learn more? Check out myvetcandy.com/certification today.
This has been awesome, and you just continue to teach me so much, and I appreciate you being here.
I appreciate you asking me. I'm very proud of you, Caitlin.
Oh, my God. You made me cry. Thank you so much. You know, without you giving me that chance, I wouldn't have found this passion and this love and this care and these wonderful people and their pets. And it's just, it's wonderful. It's a calling, and I'm so grateful forever for VetMed and for you. If people want to come see you at your clinic, how can they find you?
I think we're on Facebook as Magnolia Animal Clinic, Dr. Dean Stringbella. We do have an app, and I told you I was going to find that information out for you, didn't I? But, you know, as I've learned that over the years, you've got to delegate. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to look it up on my phone because they did it very nice for me, and they put it on there. There's an app called Magnolia Animal Clinic. You just look it up in the app store. It's free. You can submit questions to us. You can call. You can you find us on Facebook. I answer just about if it's not a what time are you open? What time do you close? How much does it cost? Question. We have a couple of people that do those, but they forward me all questions, and I'll answer just about any question that you send me within reason. You know, I am married. I can't go out Friday night. You know. My wife would frown on that. But no, if you've got a legitimate question, hey, look, my dog does this. Do you think it's worth going to the vet? Do you think it's going to the vet? Or, hey, look, I used to feed this food and it seems like it's changed. Do you think it's changed? I'll answer those kind of questions, but I will be honest with you and tell you, if it needs to see a vet, you're going to need to see a vet. We do some telemedicine through our app.
He said doo-doo.
Doo-doo. Poo-poo, too. I got the poo-poo. What is the poo-poo platter? She won't tell you, but I used to call, and I'm a big phone pranker. I'll call and put some crazy stuff on the phone just to get a little rise out of you, then hang up on you.
Yeah. The first time he did that at my new practice, my coworker's looking at me like, who are you? She was horrified. Who are you talking to? I'm like, oh, it's Dr. Dean.
My best joke is, and the worst one my wife says, is the Board of Animal Health. that we're going to have a surprise inspection in 30 minutes because of the numerous complaints. And then I just go with it, what complaints were having. And some people, and Caitlin, remember Dr. Barry, one of my best buds, and Becky, and me and him used to go. And I'll tell you one last story before I leave. The one day I was just driving by his office, and I looked over there, and he's in front of a Winn-Dixie. Now, Dr. Barry has passed away. He's a good man. He passed away a number of years ago. I called his office. I had him on my phone, called his office, and I said, hey, y'all got a dog loose outside? It's over here trying to get in Winn-Dixie. You need to come over here and get it right now. Come on, right now. The dog is trying to get in, and it looks like it's pulling a leash with y'all's clinic's name on it. You need to come over here. It's gonna get in the store. We're going to have problems. And I just hung up. And so I pulled in the next little street down there. There one of them come out the back of the building. This is back before caller ID was so popular. Out the back of the building. That thing, and I called back. I said, hey, look, you need to go tell so-and-so. She can come on back. There ain't no dog over there at Dixie. Well, I'm the only one in here. So I'm going to have to just wait till she comes back. She stayed on 15 minutes over there looking for a dog. Went in there. She went in there, and she asked the manager, where was the dog that they called about? And it's like, it wasn't no dog.
And they're like, what? Love it. Love it. Well, this has been a blast, and I appreciate you so much being here. And listeners, don't forget to go check out Dr. Dean Stringfellow. This has been a fantastic show, and thank you all so much for joining me. Thanks so much for listening. I love sharing these stories with you. If you've enjoyed this show, please hit that subscribe button. You can always find me on Vet Candy and TikTok at Desk Wench. Until next time, make it a great day.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
It's Vet Candy Radio.